This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening and for finding us online as well on Twitter. Follow us at America Weekend and like us on Facebook. We would appreciate that. Since its publication about 4 days ago, a book called This Town has gotten a lot of attention in Washington, D.C., The Town It's About. It's also gotten a lot of other people's attention and rocketed up the bestseller lists. I see that today it's number two in the politics section of Amazon.com. The man who wrote it is the chief national correspondent for the New York Times Magazine, Mark Leibovitz, and he joins me now here on America Weekend. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
In writing about Washington, you say it's not about Democrats, it's not about Republicans, it's about money, that getting rich has become the great bipartisan ideal. What does that mean?
I think it means that, I think the biggest probably change in Washington over the last couple of decades is just the fact that this has become the wealthiest community in the United States. I mean, Washington, D.C. is home to 7 of the 10 wealthiest counties in the United States, and it has just really transformed the sort of reason for being for so many people here. I mean, the expression, not so much Democrats or Republicans, it's millionaires, is something you hear a fair amount, because it has never been easier to cash in. And I think the city, and look, there's absolutely nothing wrong with making money. But, I mean, again, there's a kind of excess here that is striking for a city that was supposedly built on public service.
You make it sound as if people go there not with public service in mind, but with their own bank accounts and enriching that in mind.
I don't think that's always true, obviously, and people are complicated and their motives are not black and white. But I do think that because there is so much available, your one's motives become muddled. And, you know, maybe people think they're coming for the right reasons, and many people are, in fact. And what happens is, I mean, over time, you sort of lose sight of what maybe your initial ideals are, and maybe you sort of become more oriented towards self-service.
Are you talking just about the politicians or also the people who work for those politicians and the people who cover those politicians?
You know, it's interesting, Paul. I mean, it's sort of an entire feudal class. I mean, that's a term that Tom Coburn, who's a Republican senator from Oklahoma, uses, and who's one of the characters in the book, and someone who I always enjoy talking to. He talks about, really, it's politicians, it's staff, it's lobbyists, it's journalists to a large degree. It's just the various hangers-on and contractors and the people and the industries that derive from a culture that's gotten so big and so lucrative. And so really what you have is just this big culture in which everyone is essentially playing for the same team, and that's oriented towards enriching themselves.
You know, it's funny because every year I read criticism of the White House Correspondents' Dinner, where thousands of people from every stripe in Washington all come together, and, you know, there's the big dinner, and there's a comedian, and the president speaks, and everybody has parties beforehand and parties afterwards, and they're all pretty much in there together. And people say, how can these journalists go there and mingle with the very people they're supposed to cover? And what you're saying is they're all part of the same group.
It's certainly that weekend, which has just become a perversion, I think, is perfectly emblematic of that. I mean, Washington is a bubble world to begin with, but it just shows, I mean, the fact that weekend continues, and it's not just one dinner. It's about maybe 24 pre-parties and after-parties and just tens of millions of dollars spent on entertainment. I mean, for what? I mean, what exactly are people celebrating in Washington? I mean, are the works of the Washington media and the politicians really worth celebrating over? I mean, isn't one dinner enough for that, even that? It's just the fact that it continues is, I think, one of the most astounding pieces of proof that Washington has no self-awareness at all. To some degree, it has no shame at all. And it's just, I don't understand why the president goes, either party. I know it's a tradition, but I think it needs to stop. And look, I mean, I happen to work for a news organization, the New York Times, that doesn't let us go. You know, you can argue maybe you can get some work done if you go to a dinner. I actually have been to a few dinners like many years ago when we could still go, and I would meet some people, and it would be useful to my job. But I think it's gotten way out of control.
One of the things that I've noticed as a complete outsider, not part of this political class or anything, is the rise of the pundit class. I can remember there 20 years ago, newspapers would have people who wrote editorials, and you had op-ed columnists and that sort of stuff, and you certainly had people on the radio and occasionally on TV who did commentary. But now, with the rise of three full-time cable news channels and every other outlet and lots more talk radio, there's a whole pundit class that has come about in Washington, D.C. that seems to feed on itself. Not only are people giving their opinions, they're commenting on the opinions of everybody else.
Everyone else's opinions. Yeah, no, I mean, look, punditry has replaced reporting as the gold standard in my profession. And it's not just cable TV and talk radio. I mean, that's been around a while. I mean, the internet now has given everyone a platform, whether it's a Facebook page or a Twitter account or a blog or anything like that. I mean, so it's become anarchy in the peanut gallery. And I think people in journalism can sometimes lose sight of what the original intent of this profession is, which is reporting and trying to get it right. And maybe I'm just bitter because I don't have the head of hair that would get me on TV and get me a lot more money than my current sort of physical qualifications do. But no, I think it's a very, very notable trend.
You know, I don't mean to pick on Chuck Todd, but I'm going to use him as an example. There are days where Chuck Todd is on Morning Joe on MSNBC, and then he's on the Today Show, and then he has his own MSNBC show, and then later he appears on Andrea Mitchell's MSNBC show, and then that afternoon he's also appearing with Brian Williams on the NBC Nightly News, and then that evening he's on with Rachel Maddow back on MSNBC, and I think to myself, aside from being in front of a camera, what does this guy actually do?
Well, I mean, Chuck, I mean, in his defense, is a very good reporter. I mean,
but when does he have time to report, Mark? He can't possibly be reporting.
You know, he probably doesn't have, on a day like you just described, he probably doesn't have that much time. But ultimately, Chuck is very, very plugged in. But I get your point, which is that you are spending most of your time in makeup. You are spending most of your time getting ready to go on camera. You're spending most of your time talking. And yes, I mean, I think the initial shoe leather you lose sight of that actually is the underpinning of what we do.
I'm also curious about people who call themselves outsiders, and I guess President Obama fit into this category before he went to the Senate, and so many people who run for president say they are going to go to Washington and they are going to promise fundamental change in that town. They're going to change the way Washington works. Has that ever happened?
People have been talking about changing Washington for years, and obviously a president of any party has an incredible bully pulpit to do that. I think what we've also learned is that change is a really, really great and compelling marketing technique on a campaign. And it's a lot easier to talk about change than to actually enact it for a lot of obvious reasons. I think that, look, Washington itself is a very, very powerful force. It can change people a lot easier than people can change it. And again, I mean, people can come in with the best of intentions, and just wound up co-opted to some degree. And it's happened in all sectors that we're talking about. But I think what you have is a city that can really impose its will. And I think that as big as it's gotten, as rich as it's gotten, as powerful as it's gotten, that only becomes more so.
You also have people who say, okay, well, we're anti-government, we want smaller government. Then they go into Washington. Do they actually achieve that, or does the simple fact that they get swallowed by the machine make them all of a sudden like government?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, there are so many examples of people who run for office and claiming that they're going to drain the swamp when they get here, right? And they get here, and all of a sudden they settle into the place like a warm bath. And one of the things I focus on in my book in this town is I can't say the title enough. That's what they tell me. Got to say the title. is how that co-option takes place, and how, and just really what it looks like, and again, how just how comfortable it is here at a time when the rest of the country has been very, very, you know, sort of uncomfortable, certainly economically, and the disconnect. I know people talk about it, but I try to flesh it out as much as I can.
I only have 30 seconds here, Mark, but I'm curious about the backlash, if you had any, in the last 4 days since the book hit the stores.
It's been interesting, and there's been some voicemails and emails. I mean, a lot of people say, hey, this must be uncomfortable for you. I mean, you live there, you work in politics, you work for a major news organization, what's it like? And I say, look, I welcome the discomfort. I just think that this city needs a lot more discomfort. I think that the city, especially in the media, needs a lot more discomfort because people are too comfortable.
And if they're buying the book, that's good for Mark Leibovich. The book is called This Town, Two Parties and a Funeral, Plus Plenty of Valet Parking in America's Gilded Capital. Thanks for joining me today, Mark. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend. America!